Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Again, we are here. And it is another day that the Lord has made. A day that we rejoice and we are glad. We thank you for all the mothers and the blessing of having women that build their houses with wisdom. We give you all the praise for all the mothers, Lord. We thank you for today. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the praise and worship so far. And we ask, Lord, every time we speak thy word, you said in your word, the entrance of your word gives light. And every time we speak that word, we claim that the light of the word of God will come into our lives. And that you make us understand today what you will have us know. And we ask that you glorify yourself in the message of the Lord this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, give me a shout for Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Well, I want to speak for just a few minutes. And at the end of this message, hopefully we are going to practicalize what I'm going to be speaking on this morning. And what I want to speak on this morning for just a few minutes is unified praise. That's perfect praise. Now, praise, you can do on your own. You know, you can do that in your house. You can do that, wherever you're doing, you can do it on your own. But when we come together in the house of the Lord like this, it's a time for corporate unified praise. And I'm going to just give a few scriptures. I'm not going to preach very long today. I'm going to give you a few scriptures, and I'm going to show you, you know, what this kind of unified praise can do. And where we are leading to this morning with this short exhortation is we want everybody to take the praise and worship segment that we do here in the church very seriously. You know, because as you're going to see, you know, that's the time that God visits mostly, you know, in the church. You know, you know, of course, the word comes to make you strong and give you a good foundation for life and so forth. The presence of the Lord generally comes when the praise is right. You know, so we want everybody to pay attention this morning. We want the praise team to pay attention, but not just the praise team. You know, they are only leading in the praise, but we want all the congregation to see how we're supposed to praise the Lord and what we're supposed to do in unified presence. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, we are a royal priesthood. Now, in the olden days, the priesthoods, you know, if I ask people here what they think the priesthood were, you know, usually did, then people would say, well, you know, make sacrifice for sins and do all of these things and so forth like that. Well, they did that, but there is something that they did too that we're going to cover this morning, you know, and, they, you know, like the exhortation said earlier, everything we do for the Lord is a ministry. And this praise is also ministry. You know, we are ministering unto the Lord. See, when we come in the presence of the Lord in corporate worship, we minister unto the Lord through praise and worship. And, you know, that's what he called us to do as a royal priesthood, as a chosen, you know, people, peculiar people, a chosen nation. That's what he called us to do. And we're going to take a look at how God set the pattern to have that to happen in the church. You know, dating back from the Old Testament. Remember, David was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart, because he knew how to do these things. Now let's see how the commandment that David gave concerning how praising should be done, you know, and how they should do it and so forth. Come with me to 1 Chronicles. And we are going to just read at chapter 15. I'm going to read one verse there in 1 Chronicles 15. I'm going to read verse 16. And here's what David said. And David spake to the chief of the Levites. Now the Levites, you know, were the priesthood. You know, you heard about the Levitical priesthood. So the Levites were the priests. Now, David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with instruments of music, psaltery and harps and cymbals and sounding by lifting up of the voice with joy. Now that's the commandment that David gave. Now I want you to notice the elements of this commandment. You know, he spoke to the priests. I mean, he didn't just speak to just anybody. You know, he went straight to the top. You know, the priests were to lead in worship. And he went straight to the chief. See? And he gave that commandment and said, look, we want you to appoint singers. You know, so that's a ministry even from the priesthood. Just like we read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9. Appoint singers, you know, those who are skilled with instruments, you know, of music. Those who are skilled with the harps and whatever. Those were the instruments they used in those days. So whatever instrument we use today, you can put, substitute those names in here. You know, instead of the harp, you can substitute, you know, some of these instruments that you see here on the stage. You know, whatever it is else that we have as instruments of praise. But notice the last part of it, by lifting up the voice with joy. See, so it's not just instruments, it's also lifting up the voice with joy. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. That's what we do in the house of the Lord. It's not just, you don't come into the house of the Lord and then, you know, then you are all, you know, quiet and everything like that. Now, there's a time to worship and so forth like that. But the corporate praise is a time to lift up the voice with joy. See? That's the time, you know. So, lifting up the voice with joy. That was the commandment that David gave, and he gave it to the Levites. And the Levites were the priesthood, you know. So, you can see right from the beginning that this is a ministry, you know, ministry of praise and so forth. And the praise team that are up here, this thing, you ought to know that this is a ministry. You are leading in praise. You are kind of like the Levites here, you know, the priesthood. They've been appointed with the singers and so forth like that. You know, they are anointed. I mean, the priesthood, the Levites were anointed for ministry. They were not just any person that came off the street. You know, they were anointed for ministry. And then when you're here, this thing is a holy thing. You know, and when you are up on the stage here, on the keyboards or on the drums or, you know, with the instruments and so forth like that, it's a holy thing. You know, and it should be done in sobriety, you know, to the Lord. And you are leading in ministry. And then the whole congregation should get involved with it, and we're going to see that in a minute. Now, let's see how Solomon, we're going to see some of the descendants of David, how they carried this commandment out. You know, we're going to see what Solomon did, you know, when he built the temple. We're going to see what Jehoshaphat, you know, did. You know, these all these people who are descendants down there. You know, so let's see in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and see what Solomon did and how they did it when they constructed the temple, of course, that David also gave a commandment on how, you know, what to do with the temple and so forth. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 11. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place. So they went into the holy place. For all the priests were present, that were present, they were sanctified. You know, they were sanctified before they went to the holy place. You know, he had given them commandment before, sanctify yourselves because you're going to the holy place. So they did. And he said, you know, and then he says, also the Levites, verse 12, which were the singers. Now notice, you know, most people think that the Levites were just the priests. But he said, no, the Levites were the singers. So this is a ministry. You know, praise and worship is a ministry. Now, and he says, the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, you know, of Haman and Jeduthun and so forth, you know, with their sons and their brethren, you know, being arrayed in white linen, you know, so they didn't just dress shabbily also. They were sharply dressed, you know, I mean, they were leading the praise. They were sharply dressed. And we want you to take notice of that. You know, they were dressed in white linen. They had the cymbals and the psalteries and the harps. And they stood at the east end of the altar. And with them, there was 120 priests. 120. Now, that's a large number. And every one of them was sounding with trumpets, they said. You know, so they had all these priests lined up, you know, and all that, you know. And, of course, there's a reason why God gives any numbers in the Bible that he gives, but I won't go into that today. But they were there. And all of them lined up with the instruments, with the trumpets, dressed sharp in white linen, and so forth like that, you know. And they were looking good, and they were ready to praise the Lord. And verse 13, it came even to pass as the trumpeters. Now notice, this is the verse where we are really going today. As the trumpeters and singers were as one. Everybody say one. To make one sound. Now, not different sounds. Not the music group up here is making one sound, and in the congregation a different sound, and everybody is just different sound. That doesn't work. That doesn't get the glory of God down. You know, this is the one that gets the glory of God down. When they were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice. Now notice, that's the lifting up of the voice again. You know, this is worship. Corporate worship is not the time when you say, well, I'm just praising the Lord in my mind. No, you can do that in your house. You know, when we are in corporate worship, they lifted up their voice. They lifted up their voice. That's the way it was. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, and notice what they said, saying that he is good. Everybody say, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, I love the sound of that. It came to pass that when they did that, then the house was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord. See, now notice, the cloud didn't come down until they got in one accord under that spirit of praise. You know, as long as everybody was singing a different tune and so forth like that, and the sound didn't, you know, was not united, the praise was not unified, it didn't do anything. But he said it came to pass. In other words, you know, they probably in the beginning, it wasn't like that. But it came to the point, at the point in time, that's the meaning of it came to pass. At the point in time, at some point in time, when they got everything together in unity, when they got the praise together in unity, when they lifted up a one sound, one synchronized sound in praise, it came to pass that then the glory of the Lord descended and filled the house. How many of you can say amen? Amen? Oh yes. We're a long way from that yet. Seeing that in this church. You know. And I want to challenge everybody today to take this challenge of seeing praise and worship, beginning with our praise team here, as a ministry. And as a very solemn time when we come together. It's not a time to kid around. You know, and I don't want to see anybody kidding around here on the stage. You know, if you're here, you know, it's time for ministry. And it's time for worship. And the glory of the Lord cannot come down if we are just fooling around. We need the glory of God. And I don't know about anybody else, but I want to see that glory, don't you? Praise you in the name of the Lord. The only way we are going to do it is when we get that praise united. When we get the glory of God coming in because of the unified praise. That's what they did here. And it's when that glory came, verse 14 says that the priests, see, they started, you know, but they couldn't continue. The priests could not even minister anymore because the glory took over. How many of you would like to see that in this church? You know, they can start, the praise team can start us here. They are the priests, you know, so to speak. You know, so we want every one of them to see themselves like that. Don't think of yourself as coming here to do entertainment. We don't want any of that. We want praise. Amen? How many of you say praise the Lord? Now, so when you're here, it's worship, it's praise. You know,
And then when you get it right, you get all the congregation. And the congregation has to get behind our prayers. You know, they can't be doing one thing and then we're doing something else. It's not going to work. See, well, we got to follow in as they lead. And then everybody's there, you know, lifting up your voice with joy. That's what the Bible says. Don't just stand there and so forth. You know, we're lifting up our voice with joy. And when we get it all together, all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord. And they may not even be able to sing anymore. Maybe you'll see some of them slain. Maybe you see some people slain here in the spirit and so forth. That's how it works. You know, and this is not a spectator sport either. You know, it's not a time when we come out here and everybody's looking at the praise team singing and everybody's enjoying it. No. The Lord is the one that we want to look at when we come into worship. You know, we are to minister to the Lord. And those who are on the stage, they are ministering to the Lord, not to the people. They're not entertaining us. They're ministering to the Lord. And all of us minister to the Lord as well. As a matter of fact, the Lord is the audience. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord is the audience. He's sitting there, and the Bible says, for him were all things made, and for his praise and for his pleasure. So he created us, and he wants us to give him the praise. The Bible says we are royal priesthood, selected, handpicked by God, a peculiar people, a chosen people, to bring forth the highest praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And let me tell you, in heaven, it's synchronized praise. You don't see one person saying this way. No, the Bible says throughout the book of Revelation, and they all said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord that, you know, and so forth, and the one that sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They said the same thing. It was synchronized. Night and day, it was synchronized. That's the way the Lord likes it. How many of you say praise the Lord? In Psalm 22, we are told, in verse 3, that when you do that, you know, then the Lord, because he loves that, he can't stay away, you know, when that praise is unified like that. He said, but thou art holy, O Lord, that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Oh yes, when you get that praise in unity like that, that's when he comes down in the cloud. Oh my, you know, just one day to experience that is better than all the days else of our lives. To experience the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord like that, oh yeah, I'll give anything for that. You know, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, so we see that was, you know, that was how they did it in the time of Solomon in the temple there and so forth. And then, you know, his grandson down there through there also, you know, Jehoshaphat and all of them. You know, let's see the way that he did it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we've heard, you know, we've preached on this several times here in the church, 2 Chronicles 20, you know, time and time again we've preached on this, but we want to bring out a viewpoint also to see, because David gave this commandment, and throughout these generations, they followed it, you know, and let's see how Jehoshaphat did it. Of course, the Spirit of the Lord spoke directly to him also, when they were facing a great crisis, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon, you know, one of the people there, and gave a message for them not to worry about the fight that they were in for their lives. He said, it's going to be the battle, it's going to be the Lord's, and so forth. You know, so, and here's what they did. You know, you've heard me preach on this several times, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm going to just read verses 21 to 22. And when he had consulted with the people, now the Lord told him, see, this is going to be the battle for the Lord. You know, don't worry about it. The Lord's going to take care of it. And as soon as he heard that, he worshipped, the Bible said. And he, you know, and he said, wow, you know, this is what we're going to do. And he fell down in verse 18 and worshipped. You know, and then he consulted with the people. Here's what he did. When he had consulted with the people, you know, he said, you know, he appointed singers. So they found people that were skilled, not just anybody that just knew how to just make some noise. No, they found skilled people. They consulted and found, appointed the singers, you know, that should praise the beauty of holiness, and they put them to go in front of the battle. They went ahead of the army. You heard me preach on that before. When the praise gets so glorious and you can send the praise out in front of the army, the Lord will take care of business. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. In fact, if you really want God to move on your behalf, if we really want God to move in this church, let's get that unified praise working. You know, there's a reason why we come together for corporate worship. You know, and everything we do, you know, when it gets perfected, that's when you see the glory of God. You know, now, one time the Bible says that, you know, in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. And I've said this before in this church. The Bible says there was silence in heaven for about 30 minutes. Well, we know there is no silence in heaven. We know that there are always night and day saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You know, He is worthy, you know, to receive glory and honor and blessing and power and so forth. They say that continuously. They never stop, you know. But one time, you know, finally the Lord, you know, one time, the Bible recorded that they actually stopped for almost 30 minutes. The guy who was looking at the vision, he wondered, he said, why they stop? You know, why did they stop? And I gave this analogy one time. You know, I said, look, if you go to the, and I've, you know, some of you have been there, especially those of you who've raised little children, you know, or if you have grandchildren and so forth, you go to some of these there, you know, things they do in their school, maybe it's Christmas Carol or some of these sing song and things like that. And then they just, you know, they bring out the little kids. I mean, if we bring out some of these little kids here that are 3 or 4 or 5 years old, and we bring them out to sing here, and all the parents are there, you know, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody attended any of those things before? Oh, yes. You know, and then when they come out to sing like that, you know, most of the time, because they are so young, they are not very skillful and all that, you know, their voice, the singing may even sound flat and not, you know, very exciting, you know. But you look at the congregation when you go to any of those sing songs and so forth, you'll see the parents jumping up and down, you know, and you see the grandparents hollering when they, I mean, and the singing may even sound horrible, you know, to those who have trained ears. But you'll see the parents, you'll see the grandparents, you'll see everybody jumping up and down. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because they're like, "No, yeah, that's my daughter, that's my granddaughter," you know, everybody's excited, you know. And some of you say, well, you know, the singing doesn't even sound very good, you know, but to the ears of the parents, oh yeah, it's music, you know. And then finally, when the elect gets that praise together, see, you know, and you've heard people, they say, oh, you know, they say, well, I was in a vision, and I heard of like music like the voice of angels. People like to compare, you know, compare the singing, the beautiful singing, to the voice of angels. You know, I've heard many people say, oh, the angelic music and so forth like that. Well, one time, here's what the Lord did. For all that angelic music and all that stuff going on there, He said, shh, for 30 minutes. I want to hear my songs. I want to get their praise. Oh yes, for 30 minutes, there was silence in heaven, boy. And I tell you what, you know, we can fill in that gap, you know. It's a deep message in there, but I'm not going into that. But, you know, it takes a lot for there had to be silence in heaven, because the Lord wanted all the angels to be quiet there. See, they can't sing the song of redemption because they were never redeemed. How many of you say amen to that? That's right. We got one up on the angels on that one. You know, they can never sing that song. The Bible says the elect will learn a new song. Well, the angels cannot learn that song because they didn't have a chance to be redeemed. You know, but when we get that praise all perfected, when we get it in unison, God, symbolically, just like in Revelation 8, will say, shh, oh, I want to hear that. And if it's good enough, He might just come down in the cloud. How many of you say glory to God to that? That's right. That's how He does it. See, because when that praise is so smooth and so good, I mean, it's like irresistible to Him, and He's got to come down, you know. And that's the way He does it. So we want to encourage not only the praise team, we want to encourage the congregation. When you come into the church for service, don't be looking around during the praise time. And don't be fooling around if you're on the stage either. You know, because we want this glory of God to visit us. And the gateway to His glory is through corporate, unified, synchronized praise. You know, when we can synchronize it, we've seen it in the scriptures. When they made the music, they said when they could get the music as one, to make one sound to the Lord. See, one sound, not various different things going on. When they got it all synchronized, when it came to the Lord as a sweet aroma, Everything looking so good, sounding so sweet. He came down in his presence. And boy, when he did that, the Bible says, the glory of the Lord filled the house. You know? And if you ever experience that glory of God, like Isaiah in chapter 6, you'll be down on your face. Because when he saw that glory of God, he was down on his face. And he said, wow. I'm a man of unclean lips, because he saw the glory of God. The glory of God, that's what it'll do to you. You know, it'll empty you of every pride. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It'll empty you of all your pride. Amen. And you'll fall down before him as nothing. And then he will say, fear not, I am Alpha and Omega. Oh my. That's what he did when on the Isle of Patmos to John. He saw his glory and he fell down as dead. But then the Lord put his hand on his shoulder and said, fear not, I am Alpha and Omega. Woo! My. You know, if this church will ever get that praise together, you know, one of these days you might hear that commendation. He might come right in the middle right here with the glory of God. And he might say, fear not, I am Alpha and Omega. Oh my. And wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be a sight? Oh my. That's worth all, every day of your life. To live for that one moment to see the glory of God is worth it. Oh yes, every day of your life. Praise God. Now, I want everybody to stand to their feet this morning. Praise God. We're going to do something very unique here this morning. Amen. I don't do these things, you know, I don't do these things just because, you know, I want to do something or put on a show. Well, I do what the Lord tells me to do. I had a different message that I wanted to preach today. I've had it for about 3 weeks. But the Lord wanted me to do this. And so here's what we're going to do. Now, I'm going to take an oath of this congregation today. You say you're going to take an oath? Yes. You know, but I'm going to say this first. The Bible says when you go to the house of God, don't be in a haste to make a vow, because God has no pleasure in fools. If you make a vow and they don't keep it, then they are a fool as far as God is concerned. And so I don't want to be any fool, but I want to take an oath this morning, because that's how they did in the Bible. You know, when they would say, okay, are you guys going to serve the Lord and so forth, then they all of Judah and all of Israel, they would make an oath before the Lord, say, we're going to serve the Lord and so forth. Well, whether they keep it or not, that's a different thing. But they made many oaths many times, you know, when some of those righteous kings and priests and so forth would get them together and all that, you know. So we're going to make an oath this morning, you know. And this is going to be special for the Lord. This is not for me. This is not for the praise team. This is for Jesus. You know, and I'm going to challenge everyone here that every time that you come to church here, starting with the praise team on this stage, and then all the congregation, that you are going to get unified in praise. And you are going to take it as serious business. And get under that worship to bring down the glory of God. That is the purpose. You know, we want to get into His presence with that awesome praise and glorious. That will say, make His praise glorious. So I'm going to take an oath of the church this morning. And here's how we're going to do it. You know, I mean, you don't have to do this. But if you do, God's going to hold you to it. You know. Now, this is not for me this morning. This is for the Lord Jesus. Because it is He that we praise. We don't praise any man. We don't praise any prophet or any apostle or any angel. We praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because He's the one that died for us. Now, I want to take an oath of this church this morning. You say, well, I know that sounds serious. Well, no, not really. It is serious, but still, it is the Lord that giveth us the power. Amen? Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. All you have to do is be willing. Don't worry about it. You know, He'll give you the grace. You say, well, I can't do that. You know, yes, you can. You know, there is nothing like you can't do. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you want Christ to strengthen you, I'm going to take an oath of the church this morning. So, I want everybody that says, yes, well, this, every time I come here, this is the house of God, and I'm going to make this time of worship serious business with God. I want everybody Who wants in on that oath? And there's a reason for it. I'm not going to say it today, but the Lord, he'll show his word. He always backs up his word. You know, so I want everybody that wants to take that oath this morning. You say, I will, every time I come out here, and I'm the first. See, I'm standing here already, because I'm the first to take that oath. So I want you to come and stand with me this morning. If you want to take that oath that every time I come into the house of the Lord here, it's going to be serious business. It's going to be praise and worship. It's not going to be jiving. It's not going to be kidding around. It's not going to be any of this, you know, disunity in the praise. It's going to be the glorious praise. Every time that I come in the house of God, I'm going to do that. You know, we're going to take that oath this morning, and we're going to ask the Lord to help us. Because I want, if it's the last thing I do, I want to see the glory of God in this house.
Yeah, yeah.
If after I see it, it kills me, that's all right. Praise God. But I want to see the glory of God. One time one woman said, you know, oh, you know, and she prayed, you know, and she said, I want to see the Lord's grace before I die. And the Lord granted it to her. She prayed for years, you know, and she was in the temple fasting and praying day and night and so forth. And she, you know, and the Lord kept her until the grace came. Praise God. It will give you the desires of your heart. You know, I want to see that glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And those people in the praise team that are here this morning, you know, we want you to rededicate yourself as priests, as leaders in worship, and all of us together when we come here in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands and begin to pray. Surrender your life to Him this morning. And ask Him to help you, to fill you with His spirit of praise and worship. The Bible says God desires and He's looking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not kidding around, not joking around, not looking around, you know, but serious and getting unified in praise and looking for that glory of God. And the Lord, He will answer us. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, we ask, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus, that you will visit this church and bring an awareness, Lord, a sobriety upon the people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That we can get unified in praise like they did it, Lord, in the book of Chronicles that we read. That when the praise became as one, and then they lifted up their voice with joy, that the glory of God descended. And they could not even stand to minister anymore. Lord, we take this oath this morning that every time we come into the house of the Lord, we will come here to lift up your praise, to lift up your glory, to seek your glory, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning that you will bring the garment of praise upon the people, upon the congregation, upon the priests, the praise team that will lead us in worship. We pray this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you bring that spirit in Jesus' mighty name upon us. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying to me, now, I'm going to take some serious actions now, because we're here taking an oath this morning. And you know, the Bible says that Eli, he didn't correct his children, and the Lord took care of him. You know, so from now on, I'm not going to allow any jiving or anything like that on this stage. Now, you hear me? Those who are in the praise team, this is serious business. If you want to be a part of this, you know, you come here and you reverence the house and the presence of the Lord. You know, if I see anybody cutting up on jiving or so forth in the stage, I'm going to pull them off the stage. And they're gone. Because this is serious business. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
This is serious business. Okay, we want the presence of the Lord. And this kind of, you know, thing is preventing the presence of the Lord. You know, we want to come here and we want the presence of the Lord. And we are agonizing. I'm agonizing in prayer all the time that I want to see that glory, Lord. And it's not going to happen until we all get in unity. Now, this oath that we have taken this morning, you know, I say amen and amen. Can you say amen to it?
Amen.
Can you say amen to it this
amen.
Morning? Lord, we have declared this morning that we will seek your face in this house, in prayer and in praise and in worship. And when we come together It will be all business. We will be praising the Lord in the same spirit, one mind, lifting up our voice with joy. And we'll be looking for the glory of God. And the Bible says He will answer them speedily. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now you may go back to your seats. And I'm going to finish up here. Let's give our Lord a big round of applause again. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.